All right, you're good to go.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Stephen Hagberg, the chair of CPAC, and I'm welcoming you to the meeting. We are starting at 6:01 p.m. on November 9th, 2020. As I said, I'm Stephen Hagberg, the chair of the committee. I'll turn it over to Crystal, and we can go around the virtual room and introduce ourselves.
Crystal Edwards, Vice Chair, District 3.
I'm Shana Raphael for District 2.
I'm Jill Jackson for District 5.
Lewis Cooper, Member at Large.
TPD, you want to go ahead?
Mike Akey, Assistant Chief, Administrative Service Bureau.
I am Chris Carl, I'm the Captain in our Services Bureau.
And Still, Lieutenant, Internal Affairs.
Outstanding, thank you for being here. City staff, would you introduce yourself?
Vicki McLaurin, Neighborhood and Community Services.
Tanisha Jumper, Executive Liaison to CPAC.
And Dakota Warren, Staff Liaison.
Thank you, and welcome to the four members that have come in as attendees, including a former member of the committee itself. Welcome back, Frederick. That being said, may I have a motion to approve the agenda, please?
So move.
Seconded.
All those in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, the motion carries and the agenda is approved. Any updates or changes to the minutes of the October 12th meeting that we need, or can we get a motion to approve those as well?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor? All those opposed? Hearing no opposition, that motion is carried as well. Tonight, we're going to do things in a slightly different order. It's been pointed out that public comment would be better done a little bit earlier into the meeting, and then we could probably address some of those issues as the meeting went on and the participants are here. So I invite anybody who's on the phone or in the attendees list that if you've wish to make any comments, please raise your hand. And I believe Bakota can correct me, star 9 will allow the person on the phone to have their hand raised.
That is correct.
So we'll let that go for a moment. Thank you. I actually pay attention to some of these meetings, so that's working out well. So far, not seeing anybody raise their hands yet. We'll give it a slight moment or two more. And, well, there's Dana. Welcome,
hello.
Dana. Okay, I'm just going to say last call for this round of public comment. Anybody that'd be interested at all, please raise your hand or press star 9. Okay, we'll just go ahead and press on. Thank you for being here, and we'll press forward. Briefing items, the first category and people up are the city manager's office with their updates tonight.
Hello, so not a lot to cover today. I know that Crystal and Stephen were invited to a meeting with the mayor to learn about the Heal the Heart project and learn about CPAC's role in that. And working internally, city manager's office, figuring out what the internal complement to the external Heal the Heart work that's going to happen in the community. We also have transformation teams on the inside, which Bakota and I are a part of that work as well. And we had a really good conversation about how information will flow from the work the community is doing on the outside and the work that the city is doing on the inside and how we'll be sharing that information back and forth. So that's a big part of our work right now and figuring out how to align all of those things. Also finishing up our budget stuff. The budget will go for, we're anticipating the budget will go for final approval on November 24th. And so we're gearing up for that. We have a couple, these last couple weeks will be about amendments to the current budget, and then it'll be approved on the 24th, and that will help us to move forward. So we're diligently working towards that. And as far as, I don't think I'm forgetting anything. Am I forgetting something, Dakota?
Yeah, I'll just mention one of the items in the agenda is just introducing Megan Snow as the CPAC media contact for the committee. We had some conversations with Stephen, who usually gets some contact from the media asking about some of the questions and the work that the committee does. And so we just introduced via email Megan so that Stephen and other members, as you're considering your public outreach events, where media contacts may come back, you have someone that you could contact for assistance and how to navigate that that conversation.
Yep. And then the applications for the core coordinating committee closed, I want to say November 4th. I'm not sure if that's the exact right date. We got, how many applications did we get total? 120?
We had 126 at the final count. Final count was earlier this evening.
Thank you for spreading that word and for getting that word out, and we got a lot of really good applicants, and Dakota is working to get all those applications together for review of the CVS committee, and then we'll be bringing people along on that. We also did the police chief recruitment event, where we had about 55 residents joined that meeting, and we were able to answer all 77 questions that were answered during that hour meeting, which was really good. We got a lot of good stuff out, and that process is the applications are closed now, and they're going through the review process, and I think there's one more. They'll start to do the interview process sometime soon. Shana might know more about the exact timeline than I do, but that's moving along as well. So all's going well on those fronts also. So that's it for the city manager's office.
Thank you guys so much. That was such an interesting meeting to sit on. I know Crystal was with me and got some clarifying comments as to how it some great illumination as to how CPAC, the Project Peace 2.0, will work with the Transformational Committee that reports to the core committee. So it solved a lot of the questions that I had in the back of my mind, and I thank everybody for their participation and help in that meeting. And with that, we'll go ahead and turn... One thing just on the Megan Snow comment. If you have any contact with the media, please include Megan in on that contact, even if it's just something informal or whatever. It's incumbent upon us to make sure that we keep Megan informed on anything that we come across. And with that, I'll turn it over to Chief Akey and TPD. Let's hear what is going on there. Good evening.
Hey, good evening. So I'll go first, and I think that Chris is going to have a couple more things to add. I'll start out with when a couple months ago we talked about the 8 can't wait policies and best practices. Very happy to announce that those policies are published. They're part of our policies now. And as we discussed before, the first round of training, so we had in-service training for all of our officers, and part of the hands-on follow-up training has occurred and complete. And what we're doing now is looking at the further follow-on training to reinforce those policies and reinforce those expectations that we have, especially, you know, those of the community regarding our department. So that's moving forward. That's in good correlation, partnership with the unions that, that were part of the department and we agreed upon. So really happy about that. Just so you know, the TNT is going to produce an article regarding use of force numbers and use of force data coming up soon. Some of the conversations that's going to come up, they still have to talk with the mayor and a few other folks regarding the information that's there. So it's going to take a little while, but through that process and through the conversations I think we've been having at CPAC, you know, examining all those questions we have regarding race and disparity and applications of force, incidents of force and arrests. Those conversations have been great. One of the things that we discovered is there's a lack of national database that we can really draw upon. And I would have thought that there would have been something better, you know, maybe from the FBI or the National Crime Center. But the information that we found so far has been a very enlightening so far through different studies and by universities and different groups and such. So with that information, we're still going through that review process, taking a look at that data, looking forward to the recommendations by 21st Century Policing, 21st CP Solutions. And they're doing an assessment now and they're gonna go through and provide us recommendations. I think you guys know this, but I would just kind of just repeat it. What's 21st CP Solutions? We're working with very competent people, and one of them is an icon within the law enforcement, and that's retired Chief Charles Ramsey. He was the police chief for Philadelphia, for Chicago, for Washington, D.C. He's one of the plank members for President Obama's task force on 21st century policing. So how fortunate we're able to have a great conversation with them and look forward to his recommendations and guidance throughout this process. So we have the best, so we're on the right track. Those are the updates that I have, and I'll pass it on to Chris, subject to any questions.
Okay, I'll take it from Chief Akey. Quickly, in regards to, I want to address some of our statistics that we had, the quarterly stats. We noticed an uptick in both homicides and kidnappings, and I wanted to address both those. I went and met with our CID people today. There is a steady climb in our number of our homicides. It is not due to anyone or any type of incident at all. It is simply, in essence, an incline that we've experienced over the last calendar year. The next issue with regards to kidnappings, it went up substantially. That is not due to what people perceive as the standard kidnapping. That is in regards to domestic violence incidents, which we label as custodial interferences, mm-hmm. or where they restrict movement from one family member to another. That is not the stereotypical media kidnapping, which you would see reported on the news along those lines. So I wanted to address both of those issues, so that way we are not experiencing any type of rise in regards to those incidents whatsoever. The next incident, we are moving forward with PC Fit. The team was called out earlier in the month for an officer-involved shooting in unincorporated Pierce County, in which Tacoma, along with other agencies, responded to that incident. And lastly, in regards to the body-worn camera program, we are beginning our first week of training, the first week of December, in which Axon is coming to the department, and we have which is called our Train the Trainers. So they're gonna come and train 20 of our commissioned people in addition to our support staff, and those people will go forward later on in the month and train their respective squads that they work on. Any other questions that I can answer for anybody?
Hi, Officer Carl. This is Jill Jackson. I was just wondering if you knew what the numbers were in regards to the homicides. How many were domestic violence related, if you have that?
No, ma'am, I do not have that, but I will have that forward for you by the end of the week, and I will send it to everybody so that way they have those numbers.
Oh, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Dan Still, do you have anything?
Yes, we have. Everything's going fine in internal affairs. We have just recently identified and blessed by the chief a new sergeant is going to be coming up to replace an outgoing sergeant. As you may know, in our department, we have assignments that are out of patrol for patrol officers and sergeants, and they last 6 years. K-9 is a little different, but things like community liaison officers and internal affairs sergeants and the like, six-year assignments. So one sergeant is coming up to 6 years. Hate to see him go, but it's time for another person to come in. It's great to give sergeants an opportunity for a different look of the department. And we have chosen a highly qualified sergeant, and he's going to be doing some transition training with the outgoing sergeant all in the rest of this month and also next month too. So he'll hit the ground running with experience through training and through a school he'll be attending. Beginning of January, he'll begin. So we still have two sergeants, just different names. That's it, unless I have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not hearing any questions. If somebody wants to interrupt me, they are more than welcome to. Thank you guys for what you do, and thank you for the informational updates tonight. I think you've solved some things for some people who have had some questions. Thank you very much. With that, we'll go ahead and move on to discussion items, and I'll turn it over to Crystal for the Community Trauma Response Team recommendations.
Thank you. So we've reviewed both the policies from the original vendor that responded to the bid last year, and then also the proposal from the chaplaincy program, and then with an update from Bakota and Vicky of current requests from the original vendor, we've decided that the chaplaincy is the best way to go. We recommend that the city moves forward with the chaplaincy. Some of the reasons behind that decision are that the chaplaincy does already have 44 people operating in field, and they also have a relationship with the TPD that they could easily begin training within a couple months. And so the budgeting is similar as well. So we had a long, thoughtful discussion about it, and we agreed that with the timelines and the requests that the original vendor had, it's chaplaincy is almost a no-brainer right now. We do have some recommendations for the city to consider when it comes to developing the contract with the chaplaincy program. I can go over those now, or I can send those to you, Bakota, to review, whatever you guys think is best.
Sure, Crystal, you can go ahead and go through them now so that Vicky and Bakota can hear and the rest of the committee.
Okay. So we'd like the CPAC to be able to review all the training material the chaplaincy intends to provide to the CTRT volunteers, and that they also must clearly delineate the CTRT as a non-denominational community response team that is dynamic and diverse. CPAC would like to review the branding and marketing materials including the website. CPAC would like to have the opportunity to attend the first training and any associated dry runs. CPAC would like to be invited to observe the TPD and TFD training provided by the chaplaincy. We'd also request a quarterly reports consisting of numbers of volunteers, including member demographics, such as race, gender, district, languages spoken, and representation from the LGBTQT communities. We'd also like data on the number of calls responded to and the types of calls that were responded to, for example, death, violent crime, DV, fire, burglary. We'd like those statistics to be bounced off the statistics from the calls of the TPD so we can ensure that all the calls are being responded to equitably. We'd like to know the calls per district, response time, and any feedback from the community that is accumulated during this time. Any instances in which mental health provider was called, and the chaplaincy shall also implement a teen volunteer program and recruit at local high schools. And then also that the chaplaincy has a database for volunteers to report any other findings that they have on their calls and any other statistics that may be of interest. And I have that.
Well, outstanding, Crystal. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say I have that in writing so I can forward that on to Tanisha and Bakota if needed, and Vicky.
Yeah. I was going to say, if you could forward it to the three of us, that would be great. Vicky, do you have any questions?
I did have a question specifically about the mental health. Can you elaborate on that just a little bit of what you're looking for?
I really more of if we had to call a mental health provider and that it was beyond the scope of what the community trauma response could deal with.
So you're looking for the number of times that we had to call, not a particular case.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just the numbers, so we can get a scope of how often that happens. And if anybody else from the committee has any suggestions or recommendations, please feel free to speak up.
Well, hearing none right offhand, Crystal, I want to say that after coming up on 6 years of talk about getting the community trauma response team into place, I am so proud that it's happening. And I'm, you know what? Credit's going to go to you. You drove a result here.
Thank you.
You have been very effective. And I want to thank you personally and on behalf of the committee for all of your work, because you've achieved something that nobody else has for 6.5 years. Thank you.
That's really kind. I couldn't have done it without Bakota and Vicky the last few months. I know you guys have been working really hard to get us the option to have the tip vendor and also the chaplaincy so we could have a solid choice. And so your work has definitely been recognized. I know it's been a rough road with the CTRT, but I really appreciate what you've done in the last few months getting this pulled together. So thank you both.
Crystal, can I also ask when you send that to us, can you highlight the things that are just like non-negotiable?
Okay.
And then the things that where we have some flexibility when we're talking to the vendor.
Okay.
Stephen, before you move on, I just want to say the same thing I told Bakota earlier today. I just really appreciate how hard everybody who's been associated with this has worked to make it happen. Crystal, for her diligence, you know, the subcommittee for meeting quickly and meeting with the chaplaincy, for everybody for keeping an open mind and fighting for what the community wants, but still being flexible enough to help us get there. And, you know, we don't have to look backwards anymore. We can just look forward to where we're going. And it's been a really, really great, you know, that it's all come together, and I feel really good about where we are. And so I just want to say thank you for everybody for helping to make that happen.
Of course.
Outstanding. Again, thank you, Crystal. Thank you, Tanisha, Bakota, Vicky, everybody. It's a wonderful thing, and do congratulations to everybody. I understand on discussion item B that Shana and Lewis had a nice conversation with regard to body-worn camera policy. Would you guys like to talk about that?
Yeah. Lewis, go ahead and turn your mute off because I'm going to have you jump in too. But we had a really good discussion, I felt like, last Friday. So it was with Fred Scruggs, who's an assistant chief at TPD, and John Henry, I think his title is labor negotiator for City of Tacoma. And so they went kind of line item on the body-worn camera policy draft with us. And the thing that I thought was amazing about this was they wouldn't technically have to do this until the following year, right? Because they're with their contract and everything, but the intent is they don't yet have a policy written, so TPD is willing to take in all of our consideration for the policy that they technically wouldn't have to adopt until next year for this year. And we kind of just went through, and we can go through it in detail, everything that the community and CPAC had wanted to change, explained to us why we might get pushback from the union, but at no point in that, sorry, my kid is screaming if you can hear in the background, but at no point did they say like, no, we're not going to do this and we're not going to bring it. Like John Henry was fantastic and said, if this is what you want, we will totally bring it to the union. It just might need to be escalated. So I really appreciated that part of it. I'm not sure, Lewis, should we go through, I have it pulled up. Should we go through the,
but I don't have it in front of me.
Explain it. So one of the big issues when we were going through the policy was the language about when the camera should be on. And Lewis and I felt strongly that the community had spoken to us and told us that the default should always be to on. So they were willing to kind of change the language of it should be on unless there are legal ramifications. So we're talking domestic violence instances, informants, or anything that could then hinder the, in a legal aspect in court, right, Lewis? Where if they then wouldn't be able to use the video. So they were able to change the wording in that a little bit and are still gonna take it that, I mean, Lewis and I felt strongly that the community had told us during the outreach that they wanted the cameras to default to on.
Right.
So we're willing to take that and said that, that we felt that if there weren't legal implications, that the default should be on, that batteries should be charged at the start of every shift, no matter what. And they were happy to add that part into the language. Another part that we talked about was the amnesty period. So they explained why they have the amnesty period longer. I think they had it at 1 month and we wanted it 3 shifts.
Right.
And so they were willing to change the language in the draft policy to say that, like, we are expecting that during this amnesty period that the camera is on. And if we find out that an officer is intentionally not putting it on just because it's within this amnesty period, that there will be ramifications for that. But just to allow grace if it's accidentally not put on and they can address it as they go. The kind of hiccup with that is they won't necessarily know that it wasn't turned on unless there's an incident that causes them to review it.
Right.
But let's see, I'm going through the other ones. So we agreed to the amnesty period with contingent that they'll change the language, that the expectation is that it will be on during the amnesty period and there'll be documentation of failure to record if that isn't done. We had recommended that, let's see, that's a lot of it was repetitive about how we always wanted it on the camera. Another one that we were felt very strongly about was that officers shouldn't be uploading data at home. And there was no issue with that of changing the language to they need to either do it at headquarters or another police TPD property, that it shouldn't be uploaded at home no matter what, and that there would be other problems for the police department if they needed that footage and, you know, the chain of custody sort of thing of what happened to the footage. There was no issue with that, which was great. Let's see, I'm scrolling down. The tiered retention, because we had really liked Las Vegas's policy on the tiered retention depending on the incident. And Assistant Chief Scruggs was good at explaining to us that, like, if something happens that falls in one of those categories, the data will already be moved and saved. So we don't necessarily have to worry about the retention in that current system because it will be moved because TPD would need that data anyhow. And that there wasn't another policy really in Washington state that spoke to the tiered retention. So it would be an issue if that went to arbitration because there wouldn't be really basically a leg to stand on why we need to have that separate language because they would.
Right. And it needed to stay within the public current covered disclosures.
Yes. Right. Oh, so that was the other piece. Is they're going to add in the RCW about retention? So let's say the laws in Washington state change about how long you have to retain something, then that policy would automatically be changed to reflect the retention, which kind of makes it easier, right? Then TPD is not going to have to keep going back to the policy to update it and each time.
Yeah, and he did add it.
Yep. And let's see. So we had requested about adding CPAC to be reviewers of the data. Right now, that's not possible because our title is an advisory committee. So we would need to go through the same public records request as anyone else. But if we are able to change to an oversight committee, then we would be like an extension of TPD and have easier access to review videos and not have to go through that whole public records request. So that's something to keep in mind with our idea of wanting to change to CPOC from CPAC. Let me see. That's about the retention. Oh, so we had wanted like explicit language in the policy about if you are proven to be tampering with the video, that there would be like this zero tolerance policy. And I think a lot of that was because of the language that specified that they could upload the videos at home. We felt that there was a lack of accountability and something could happen to the videos. But since that language changed where they're not going to be allowed to update the videos at home, Assistant Chief Scrub said, you know, that if they found that someone was tampering with evidence, which would be easier to find out if they're doing it at a TPD facility, that there would be immediate consequences anyway, in line with their current policies. So it would no longer needed to be an added language because they changed the language on the uploading. They're fine with us having scheduled open reviews of the body-worn camera policy, effectiveness, and compliance. They're open to reviews for modification of the body-worn policies and that included and making sure that all stakeholders have access to these policies. I don't think I missed anything there, but Lewis, feel free to.
No, you hit it. You covered it pretty much all.
Yeah. So I was happy with the conversation. There really wasn't any pushback to what we had wanted to change. There was explanation of why things were the way they were and willingness to change the language just to make it more concrete for us. It was a good conversation.
Questions?
Any questions on that?
No question, just a comment that thanks to Shayna and Lewis, and because one of my biggest issues was the uploading at home and that got taken care of. So thank you so much. Really appreciate that.
There was like zero hesitation on, it was kind of like, why is this in there? There was no pushback at all changing that.
Great, thank you so much.
Yep, thank you guys for all the work that you've done. That's amazing, incredible.
Okay.
You're on mute, Stephen. And
well, I was talking loudly, so.
Well, and Tanisha had mentioned earlier about me being able to give out more information about the police chief search. If I don't know what I'm allowed to share, but if I'm allowed to share like the dates and stuff, Tanisha, I can do that. Okay. So we're doing the first round of interviews Thursday and Friday of this week. So we've gone through all the applicants, dwindle them down, and we'll be doing the first round of interviews for 2 full days this week.
Good.
Outstanding. Thank you both for the conversation you had. Sounds like it was really dynamic. You got to some movers and shakers and got some things squared away. I'll make sure that our guests on tonight are copied in on that recommendation sheet, since they may not be aware of it so far. So
if anyone wants, they
don't want to leave anybody out.
Yeah, if anyone, once they read it, has additional comments or questions, John Henry and Assistant Chief Scruggs have both said that they're open to speaking with us again. So just let us relay it.
I just want to add one quick thing, Stephen, that I think what was important for both Shane and I is that we had the chief negotiator for the city there. And I think a lot of I do negotiations for labor at the port. So some of the things that, even though there were some things that I thought I wish we could have gotten, I understand that these are some things that could have resulted in interest arbitration. And it still may be. It's still, there's a couple of things that still may go to interest arbitration, but they were willing to take it on. And they were very open to hearing what me and Shane had to, what Shane and I had to say. So it was a good conversation. And I think it was a good partnership. It exemplified an excellent partnership of where we need to go and keep going in the future. So I just wanted to mention that.
It was, and Bukota was there too. So in case he has anything to share about it.
Nothing to share specifically. I was just going to let you know that on the CPAC webpage with the agendas and minutes, I'll upload this draft in the other documents section along with this meeting's audio tomorrow morning. So you can point people to that page if they want to access it and review it for themselves.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Again, thank you for what you've done. Oh, go ahead, Chief.
Just to add on to that conversation, I talked to Assistant Chief Fred Scruggs today about it. And let him know about this meeting. And then I think we're on the same sheet of music on that, because I've asked Assistant Chief Scruggs to join us for the December meeting to give us a timeline on implementation of body cameras, training, updates, and stuff. I thought that'd be a good time for you guys to hear that as well.
That's great.
Thank you,
Kevin. Outstanding. Thank you.
I just want to say again,
thank you.
Go ahead, Stephen.
Thank you, Chief.
Oh, go ahead, Tanisha.
I was going to say, I just wanted to thank everybody for being willing to have that conversation. I really appreciate when John Henry and kind of went through the list with me, and I said, well, I would really feel more comfortable if you would, you know, have this conversation with CPAC directly and get clarification on why they wanted certain things, because maybe the answer is somewhere in the middle. There was no hesitation at all. And he was like, I would love, and like, didn't delegate to anyone else. He's like, I will meet with them directly and I will bring Chief Scruggs so that we can have an open conversation. And I think that's what's in the best interest of the community. So I appreciate you both for like responding to Bukota super quick and getting that meet. I mean, you guys, like, I was going to check on it and it was already scheduled. So I was like, wow, that's great. And so I just appreciate it. I feel like for all of the work, and some of the people who've been on CPAC longer, for all the work we've done to get ourselves organized and to get fully staffed and to get things moving, I mean, we've done a lot of really big, important things in a short amount of time. And it is all because you guys have been willing to do the work and be responsive. And even with the amount of work that got piled on, you guys never said no. You guys just kept saying, okay, yes, we'll figure it out. And you guys have kind of divided and conquered and got some really great stuff done. So again, thank you to all of you for that.
And thank you to you guys for the clarity on process, timing, and inflection points where this may be adopted at some point, whether it's a policy in January, a review sometime down the road, or next year's negotiations. That stuff I'm not overly familiar with, so thank you for the clarity on that as well. Moving on to item C, I would like to propose a resolution that recognizes the retirement of Chief Ramsdale at the end of next month. I'd like the committee to come together on some language so that we could present some form of a thank you. I think recognizing somebody that has served Tacoma exclusively this whole time, 1985. I mean, what a record. First of all, are there any objections to a resolution here? Okay, not hearing any. I'd also like to adopt the resolution in the December meeting and have Chief Ramsdell on the phone or in the meeting with us, that he might be able to hear that, and we might be able to share some thoughts with him before he retires. Are there any objections to that? Hearing none, I am so thankful that everybody's willing to go forward on that. Chief Akey, would you please, and we'll extend a formal invitation to Chief Ramsdell, but could you just kind of put a tickler in that we'll be doing that?
Oh, make sure we'll do it. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on, by the way, I did send it via email to everybody for review. Mark it up as you wish. It's the first time I've ever tried to write a resolution, so I may need some training wheels on that. Moving on to item D, the expanding the influence and impact of CPAC from advisory to oversight. I had committed to coming up with a document to synopsize various different oversight bodies out there, and I've not been able to synopsize that yet. We've got many different types. You know, Stockton is very close to what we do, and I know King County had a charter or set of charter amendments to change their sheriff's department CPAC equivalent to an oversight committee. I haven't looked too deeply into that. So I'm going to go ahead and put that as a continuation. Has anybody else come up with any ideas or any citations that I could be looking at? No? Okay. Well,
I don't, but
I'll just take that as a general.
I'll look, Stephen, so you don't have to do it all on your own and just maybe send you. I remember reading stuff on it, and there were some kind of big national articles about oversight committees that I had read before joining CPAC that I can look through more thoroughly to see if there's some language in there.
And I'll be happy to help you with that, Shane, as well.
Thank you very much for doing that.
And you guys still have access to Nick Brown. I know I think Crystal sent him some questions, and I don't know if we've heard back from him on those, but he is willing to help, and I can do some follow-up and figure out his schedule and see if there's maybe a subcommittee meeting with him to help you guys figure out some of the legalities around that and stuff.
Thank you, Tanisha. That's an excellent suggestion. Forgot all about that.
Thank you.
If I can offer a suggestion as well. So, you know, I mentioned 21st CP Solutions and Chief Charles Ramsey, part of his, the six pillars that he talked about in making sure that these processes are better. There's an oversight component for that he recommends. And I know that he's already doing work with us, for us, you know, for the city. And perhaps that's just another avenue to get a little bit more information on the things that he's seen or he's helped implement. I think that's just another, good information that can help you guide your decision.
Well, thank you, Chief. That's also helpful. So we'll go ahead and put that in continuing business, and we'll pick that up maybe in December, possibly in January. We'll take a look at that. Does anybody have any new business to bring up tonight? Hearing no new business, we can go to subcommittee reports.
I have something.
Oh, go ahead. Good.
I don't know if we necessarily mentioned with the Healing Hearts of Tacoma that CPAC will have one representative on a police transformation team. So keep in mind that can either be someone that's nominated or a volunteer, but when the time comes for that team to form, we will be asked to provide one representative to be a part of that. So I'm interested, but I'm sure there's others on this committee that are interested. So just keep that in mind and maybe we can come. Do we need to come up with a nomination tonight, Tanisha? No? Okay. So let everyone know.
Yeah, the core coordinating committee won't be seated until January, and they'll need some time to get their plan together for how it's going to work. So I'm guessing February or March is when you guys will need to have someone, probably February, that you'll need to have someone ready to sit on that committee.
So we'll know who's on the coordinating team prior to that. So if any of the committee members were selected for that team, they would know maybe not to take on another duty. All right, thank you.
Well, and I get the, oh, yep, I get the impression that the design of that committee will end up being somewhat fluid. So maybe it's a minimum of one. We'll see as we go along. Moving on to subcommittee reports, data and trend subcommittee. Talked with Captain Carl about the question of kidnappings and what that meant. I reviewed all of the complaints for quarter three, and there were so few complaints out there that it was truly amazing how few people complained about anything. And I think there's a measure of congratulations to be made to the department for doing an excellent job. And not a single one of them had any racial component. It's the first time since I've been around that we've ever had a quarter like that. So TPD, you can be absolutely proud of the job you guys are doing. Other data, I don't really have anything much to speak about tonight. That will go back to Shana for the Policy and Program Review Subcommittee report.
Pretty much the big piece has just been finishing up this body-worn camera policy. Believe the use of force will be next, but we got an extension on that because of they already had to sign off on it, right, Tanisha, as part of the pledge. So we have a little bit more time to dive deep into it because I remember in June we were going to go into it, and then body worn camera policy just became the most important thing to cover. And so now that we've been able to have the discussion about that more thoroughly with the labor negotiator and TPD, we'll be able to move on to the next one. Lewis, do you have anything else?
No, I think that's it. Just the use of force is the next thing we need to take up, and now the oversight. I'm excited about looking at that, the oversight matter. So that's the two things we have right now.
Yeah, we submitted the 8 can't wait use of force stuff. So Chief Akey and them submitted their stuff on 8 can't wait, and then Melanie compiled all the other information and submitted it to the Obama Foundation to fulfill the Obama pledge. So now we're kind of on our own timeline for further review of use of force.
And what better time to announce, I know Crystal will back me up on this, our good mayor has invited CPAC to review quarterly the use of force documents and cases and all of that stuff. So she's asked that the committee take on. I told her that we'd be happy to take that on, and whether it's data and trends or policy, somebody will certainly give that some due diligence here. Going completely in line with the attitude that we've taken all year to go ahead and do more, be more effective, and to provide a better service to the city. So thank you guys for preliminary volunteering, even if you didn't know you were volunteering. Outreach subcommittee, Crystal?
Well, to be honest, we're just kind of waiting for the next steps from the city and the next time they want to do breakout sessions, or whether we decide there's something that we want to get feedback from the community. So I'm on hot standby to assist with that. Tanisha, I don't know if you have any updates for us on what we can expect in the coming months.
I think just kind of what we talked about in the meeting with the mayor, I'm sure as we are working with 21CP and doing some of the work around the morphing to an oversight committee, and if there's additional things you find in use of force, then we'll be figuring out how to host some community conversations just to get some feedback from the community so that you guys can make good recommendations. But we don't have like a set plan of wanting to do them every month because we don't know how the all the teams, there'll be 8 transformation teams that are set up, and they kind of range from community safety to internal culture at the city. So, you know, I don't know which ones are gonna get set up first. And so once I have that, my guess is maybe in the December meeting, if we're far enough along, I can report to you on kind of the city's internal transformation and where community safety falls in that. Plus we'll have update on like where the budget ends up shaking out, which will also give us a good indication of like what our first like steps in work is. So, yep.
Great.
Thank you, Tanisha, very much. Crystal, has anything broken on community trauma response team since the last time we talked?
No, I'm gonna send that email to Vicki, Bakota, and Tanisha and highlight the non-negotiables, and I guess we'll just wait to hear what the next steps would be from the chaplaincy program and see.
Outstanding. I'm just so thankful for everybody's work on this and the effectiveness that you've brought to the table on that. Topics for upcoming meetings. We have another meeting on December 14th at 6 p.m. Does anybody have anything that they want to make sure we include?
And I'll just add, Chair, 2 pending items from your last month's options. You have update on body-worn cameras was something listed last month, which will be coming in December. And you also had an update from TPD requesting a discussion on the social media policy at a future meeting.
Okay. We'll continue to have those in the upcoming meeting topics. December should be a good meeting, and then we'll certainly be looking forward to the new year and starting out fresh and tackling whatever's down the road. With that, if there are no further questions, comments, or complaints, I would certainly entertain a motion to adjourn for the evening.
Real quick.
Chief, yeah.
We'll try to make sure that you guys know, get the dates ahead of time for the community meetings around the final candidates for the police chief. There are going to be community opportunities for the community to interact. I don't know exactly what those are. I haven't got all the details yet, but we'll make sure that that gets out because that will happen before the next meeting. That'll be happening between now and December. So, and that you can just attend as a community member. So.
Thank you, Tanisha. Chief?
Yeah, just a couple of things. One, I forgot to add part of the an update. But before I go that, I want to talk about the social media policy. The same person that Shana and Luz Cooper talked to, John Henry, I've talked to him about the social media policy to help him understand the need for us to address that. So he's helping us frame that conversation into that conversation with the unions and moving forward. So I'm not sure if he talked to you about that, but it's the same point of contact that we're going to help us navigate this the social media policy.
That's good to know.
The thing that I forgot to add in was Assistant Chief Fred Scruggs and I were part of a meeting on October 14th. It was the second annual Tacoma Community College Police Accountability Forum. And it was centered around African Americans within our community with significant, you know, positional authority and responsibility, and talked about how the accountability process happens. So a lot of the same conversations you guys have regarding that process, they go through as well from the state forum. What I found interesting is met Congresswoman Deborah Enteman, Washington State Congressman, and she is a leader in regarding to police reforms at a legislative level at the state. And I just thought that, you know, the things that you guys are talking about and this, you know, really the systemic changes that we're going to make, I think she's an important person to give you guys some type of reference on where things are at the state and how we affect things even outside the city of Tacoma, you know, for the state. And I just thought you guys are talking about a lot of the same things, police reforms and transformations. And I just think that two great entities, it'd be nice to get her insight into some of the questions and processes that you know we have during this process. So I just thought that would be a good conversation for us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, thank you, Chief. And I'll go ahead and try and make contact with the good representative.
Yes, Crystal? Stephen. I was going to. Oh, I'm sorry. Crystal was up first. I'm sorry.
No. That's fine. Go ahead, Luke. All right.
No, Crystal.
I just have a question, and I don't even know if this might be something for next meeting or if it's even necessarily relevant. But I was curious with the TPD. I know that you interact and operate very closely with the TFD, and that the city council is looking at doing some budget cuts with the TFD. Does that affect how you operate or respond to calls in any capacity if they were to do that budget cut and reduce the fire department staffing?
I think there's a lot of second order effects of those decisions. And sometimes some of those conversations are not easily identifiable once those decisions are made. For example, one of the conversations that's coming up for ourselves and fire is with Southside 911 regarding how do we regionally handle welfare checks, you know, people who are in need of assistance. Because, you know, as we discussed and talked, not every instance needs a, you know, uniformed armed police officer to help with that situation. But if we have folks who are in the fire department or in NCS or whatever entity that, you know, we determine is the right people to do that, if there isn't a availability on a 24/7 or emergency basis, who makes the contact, how it's done. So I think, Crystal, the question that you asked, we're going to have to look at the deep impacts of these type of decisions.
Okay, thank you.
Lewis?
I was just going to suggest, and you had mentioned contacting the representative, I think that we should maybe even invite her to one of our meetings and spend some time getting information from her and exchanging information to find out what is going on the state level. That's all I was going to suggest.
Oh, absolutely. And if we could come up with some sort of an idea of what kind of questions to prepare, that would just make it even better for that invitation. So absolutely, Lewis, I'm on board with that. Tanisha?
No, I was going to say that's a great idea, and we can work with Chief Akey to get her contact information and see if she's available and when she would be available to attend the meeting.
Outstanding. Anybody else have anything that they've got to say tonight? Having heard nothing, I'll go ahead and entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Hearing none, the chair passes that and declares the meeting adjourned as of 7:01 p.m., November 9th, 2020. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for all the attendees on the call as well. Thank you, and we'll see you next month.
Thank you.